translation. Thus, once upon a time, the forefather of all living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. One cannot be situated in an exalted position without having undertaken a regulative life of rules and regulations. An unrestricted life of sense gratification is animal life. And Lord Brahma, in order to teach all concerned within the jurisdiction of his generations, taught the same principles of self-control for executing higher duties. He desired the welfare of all as servants of God. And anyone desiring the welfare of the members of the his family and generations must conduct a moral, religious life. The highest life of moral principles is to become a devotee of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. On the other hand, one who is not a devotee of the Lord, however qualified he may be in the mundane sense of the term, cannot be qualified with any good quality worthy of the name. The pure devotees of the Lord, like Brahma and persons in the chain of disciplic succession, do not do anything to instruct their subordinates without acting accordingly themselves. Prajapati dharmapati ekada niyaman yaman padram prajanam prajanam anvichan atishtat swartha kam yaya. Thus, once upon a time, the forefathers of all living entities and the father of religiousness, Lord Brahma, situated himself in acts of regulative principles, desiring self-interest for the welfare of all living entities. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuan Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtai Bhutala Srimati Bhakti Charu Somiti Namini Snigdha Chaita Shmandita Vagnam Chara Suputam Prabhupada Gata Pranomi Bhakti Charupanam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtai Bhutala Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Somiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtita Deshitarine. I don't like giving classes, so it's just, you know, last year was the time I gave class, Hare Krishna Maharaj and all the assembled devotees. And then when they asked me to give it, I made an excuse, I didn't give it. And then today I said, okay, I have to do it. And what type of class they gave me? They gave me free appearance days plus the purport. So Srila Madhavendra Puri's appearance day, and then the appearance day of Sri Sri Radha Raman temple, the deity, and then the other one is Srinivasacharya appearance day, and then 2 days ago, I think Wednesday, Mother Kulangana's appearance day, and then you've got the purport. So it was like so many things to prepare, so please bear with me. So this is Canto 2 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and these chapters are basically in relation to Lord Brahma asking questions. Because Narada Muni, he thought that Lord Brahma is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because that's all he saw. He thought, oh, you must be the greatest. You're the greatest personality I've ever seen, so you must be the Lord. And Lord Brahma is educating him, no, it's not me, there's someone higher. And so this whole question and answer sessions in the Bhagavatam, which is full of questions and answers, because that's how you learn, by asking questions and getting the right answers. It's there in this whole Canto 2 and in these chapters and in the Chatushloki, the four key verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam that Lord Krishna explained to Lord Brahma. And then that was expanded into 10 subjects which were given to Narada Muni. And then we have 18,000 verses. The Srimad Bhagavatam is amazing. But what caught my mind, because this purport, there's many different points in the purport. One aspect is the pure devotee of the Lord has all the good qualities of the Lord. So we're talking about transcendental qualities. We're not talking about material qualities. Because in the, if you're not a pure devotee and you go out in the world, you see qualities in people. You can't negate that. There's qualities. People are charitable. People are kind. It's not. It's just not only the pure devotees. There are kindness you see in different religions, different faiths and cultures of this world. And pure devotee doesn't mean only in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. There's pure devotees in Islam, Christianity, Judaism, Sikhism. Anyone can love God. It doesn't matter who you are or what background you belong to. Love is love, you know. And if you, even if you don't know who the Supreme Personality of God is, you don't know the characteristics, you don't know what he looks like, you don't know where he lives, it doesn't matter. You know that he exists. And you can love him, and he can love you, and he can guide you from within and without. And without means the devotees, and particularly the spiritual master. So Lord Krishna was guiding Lord Brahma and explaining everything to him, because Lord Brahma is, you know, confused. He wants to know more. He wants to know who is Krishna. So there's 26 qualities of a pure devotee. Pure devotee, 26 qualities of a pure devotee. And I just wanted to say a few of these qualities in relation to Srila Prabhupada. One of the qualities is kripalu, merciful. And Srila Prabhupada wasn't just only merciful to human beings. He was merciful to every living entity. He was so merciful. Like the cows, for example, right? This whole Western world is fixed on destroying cows, killing cows. Millions, millions are being killed, slaughtered every day. And Prabhupada wanted to protect the cows and show how to take care of the cows. We're not vegans. He actually brought up the cows, like in the Bhaktivedanta manner, you know, it was actually, I think it was called New Goloka, Gokula, isn't it? New Gokula, because Prabhupada wanted to establish cow protection in this country, and so he had cows, and he would look after cows in New Vrindavan and different parts of the world. And he wanted to show society that a cow is meaningful, is important, and should be cared and protected because the cow is our mother and the bulls are our fathers. So he was merciful to the cows. He was merciful even to a tree. In Mumbai, Bombay, they were building, you know, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Temple, and then there was a tree in the middle of the drive. When you're going into Bombay Temple, you see this massive tree, and they wanted to cut it down. The devotees wanted to cut it down. And Prabhupada said, no, it's not going to be cut down. They said, Prabhupada, but it causes a problem, you know, when we're driving in. They said, no, you drive around it, but you're not going to cut the tree. He protected even the trees. Prabhupada was so kind, so merciful. And then when you offer food to the Lord, what happens? The vegetables get purified. The vegetables get mercy. So Prabhupada is so kind that he could have had a nice, easy life in Vrindavan, Radha Damodar Temple. If you go to Vrindavan, you see there's a lot of devotees chilling out, relaxing, having a good time. Prabhupada didn't think like that. He said, no, I have the orders from my spiritual master, his Divine Grace Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I have to fulfill this order. And incidentally, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur asked many devotees to go to the West. He even asked Srila Sridhar Maharaj, the great Srila Sridhar Maharaj, and Sridhar Maharaj said, no, I can't do it. I can't do it. He said that, I can't do it. So when Prabhupada was struggling, Sridhar Maharaj said, you must go. I didn't fulfill the order, but you must go and fulfill this order. You have to, and he encouraged Prabhupada, you must go and do this. So Prabhupada came, and that is called Kripalu. We're not sitting here today. We're sitting here today because of Srila Prabhupada's mercy. Otherwise, we would be somewhere else, different religions, different faiths. We may not even be practicing, maybe dead. So he gave the books. This is how we keep the integrity of our movement from generations to generations, because I joined in the 90s, people joined in the 80s, people joined in the 70s, but every generation you can see changes in our movement. I see it all the time, differences and how things are moved forward. But the integrity, how you know the eternal truth, is by sticking to Srila Prabhupada's books. That's why he wrote those books. These are the law books for the next 10,000 years. So Prabhupada gave everything he had in those books, invested everything he needed in those books. Because by reading those books or keeping faithful to those books, you'll keep the integrity of this movement. The standards will remain the same. Or somebody can point out, hey, wait a minute, you're deviating because in Prabhupada's books, he says this. That's how we keep unity in our movement. Otherwise, deviations will come, changes will come, and then people don't know what's the absolute, you know, what was the reality of the truth. That's why these books are so important. Not only Srila Prabhupada was merciful. Have you heard of Shivananda Sena? Shivananda Sena was an associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he was in charge of taking the party from Bengal, headed by Lord Nityananda and Advaita Acharya and everyone else, to Jagannath Puri. He was in charge, you know. He was the manager. He had to pay all the tolls. He had to make sure everyone was fed well and looked after every part of the journey. And in those days, you walked. You didn't have cars or, you know, you didn't travel on horses. He just walked. And so as he was going on this party, this dog appeared, right? Street dog. And he just tagged along, and Shivananda Sena became fond of the dog, you know, and the dog started to take prasadam with the devotees. And then one day, Shivananda Sena had to go and sort out some taxis for the, you know, where they're going next. He had to sort out some taxis. And the dog left. He came back. He said, where's the dog? Oh, the dog, we forgot to feed the dog, and the dog left. It's gone. And he was very upset. He sent men. He said, go and look for the dog. And they all went around looking for the dog. They couldn't find the dog, and he was so upset. This person, this dog, this living entity came into my party under my care, and now we didn't feed the dog. We didn't look after the dog. Now the dog's gone. And he felt so upset. So eventually they get to Jagannath Puri, and then they see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And guess who's with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The dog. The street dog is sitting few meters away from Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is eating mango pulp and throwing it to the dog. So the dog's eating the mango pulp, right? Sorry, coconut. I think coconut pulp. Coconut. Next day the dog dies. Dog went back to Vaikuntha. It got liberated. So this is the mercy of the devotees. If they shower their mercy on you, because we're unqualified in Kali Yuga, we're just unqualified. But when the pure devotee or the representatives of the pure devotees, they take interest in you. They just look at you, they glance at you, they take interest in you. Your life, material life, is finished. It's finished. It may not be in this lifetime, may make many lifetimes, but that journey has begun. Once the devotee asked Prabhupada, how do we're lucky, we get initiated, we're with you, you know, we can, you know, we get initiated, we're connected to you. How, what about the people of the world? They don't get initiated to you. And Prabhupada said, just by reading my books, they're already initiated. They're already initiated, they're already connected. That's the beauty. How I became a devotee is because of Prabhupada's books. And that's his mercy, Kripalu. A devotee, pure devotee, is truthful. So when Prabhupada coined up ISKCON, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, ISKCON, they were saying, why is it Krishna consciousness? Why not God consciousness? ISKCON. Right? Why don't you call it ISKCON, you know? Why Krishna consciousness? And Prabhupada, he was very bold, and he said, look, God is a vague term, right? Krishna is scientific, is specific. That is his name. I mean, God has many names, you know, not just one. But Krishna is one of his primary names. And so he was truthful to the Siddhanta. He wasn't going to hide or cower or just, you know, not present it as it is. Incidentally, I've seen, there's a book called Bhagavad Gita As It Was. Have you seen that? It's on the internet. As It Was. I don't know why he called it As It Was, but Prabhupada called it As It Is. And I was looking it up. I was looking at what does this As It Is means, you know? And then I was looking at the internet and it says, tell it like it is. As it is, the facts. Present it as it is, the facts. That's what it means, as it is. In Hindi, they say yatharup. Another quality of Prabhupada is faultless. Now, faultless doesn't mean that you make a mistake by giving the wrong shloka, or in Bhagavatam, the original Bhagavatams, there are grammatical mistakes or spelling mistakes. That doesn't define faultless. That's not the characteristics of fault. Faultless, in this connection, spiritual faultless, is that his character and his mood to serve cannot be checked. It's perfect. So when you read the original Srimad Bhagavatams that Prabhupada presented, yes, there may be some grammatical or spelling mistakes, but it's faultless in its presentation of the absolute truth. It's faultless. It cannot be questioned. Prabhupada perfectly represents the Siddhanta of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what faultless means. Srila Prabhupada is mild, mridu, you know, calm, peaceful. And I remember hearing this story by Tribhuvanath Prabhu here in this temple room in 1993. It was the Vyas Puja of Srila Prabhupada, and Tribhuvanath Prabhu explained one story that happened upstairs in Srila Prabhupada's room. So the devotees left Prabhupada in his room, and then they were all doing their duties, and then smoke started coming out of the room like there was a fire. So Tribhuvanath Prabhu burst into the room, because he's the temple president. He's the first temple president. And they're looking for Prabhupada, and then the whole room is full of smoke because something happened in the gas fires. And then all he hears is Prabhupada is behind the door saying, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Just chanting peacefully, calmly, not bothered by the smoke. And then the devotees escorted Prabhupada out. So Prabhupada was extremely calm. Prabhupada compared it to an ocean. So at the top of the ocean, you know, you have lots of waves. But when you go deep down in the ocean, it's calm. So the pure devotee is like that. So externally, he may or she may be, you know, chastising the hell out of people, or, you know, moving things around, trying to help, you know, busy. But deep down, they're so calm because they don't have any material desire. They only have one desire, to please the previous acharyas. There's another incident when Krishna Balaram Mandir was being opened in 1975 in Vrindavan. So Srila Prabhupada is behind the curtain, and they're just about to open up the curtain for the first time. Okay? And so everyone is frantic behind the scenes. All the pujaris are running around, shouting, moving things around, dropping things, spilling things. And Srila Prabhupada is standing there with Brahmananda Maharaj and just remaining calm with his, you know, just calm, just waiting. And Brahmananda Maharaj is, you know, looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada is so calm. But there was one worry in Prabhupada's mind. He didn't want the curtains to be opened by anybody else. It had to be him, because the acharya reveals the deity to the world. The acharya must reveal the deity. That's the etiquette. So he said to Brahmananda — Brahmananda is a huge, big, strong devotee, joined in 66, right-hand man of Srila Prabhupada. He said to Brahmananda, I want you to guard the curtains and don't let anybody open those curtains. So Brahmananda, he was like the bodyguard, and he stood there and nobody opened those curtains. He didn't allow anyone to, you know, frantically just open the curtains whimsically. And then Prabhupada eventually opened the curtains and revealed the deities to the world. But that's an example, Prabhupada, just remaining calm when everyone else is running around and, you know, being frantic and clean. Prabhupada was extremely clean, internally and externally. There was one incident where they had to go to the airport and Prabhupada just wanted to have a bath. But there's no showers around. Nowadays you have showers. But there was no showers around. So he had to go into the toilet area with Shruti Kirti Prabhu. And they had a lota, which is like a pot, and they had his gumchas. And then he went to where, you know, where you brush your teeth and all those basins. And they just took out water and just bathed Prabhupada in the toilets area. Away from the cubicles, of course, but in the, where the sinks are. And then, you know, the janitor got upset. He was mad, but Prabhupada didn't care. He needed to have a bath and he needed to be clean. And so that's an example. And when you do have a bath, it refreshes your body and your mind. Prabhupada was so clean, always clean. There's so many qualities I can say about Srila Prabhupada, but I have to move on because I'm going to finish at 8:30 and I'm not going to take any questions because I don't really. And you know, if you have any questions, if you have any questions, you can go to Keshav Maharaj and many senior devotees at the manor. But my style is I don't like to give answers. Because I tell you why, because I can be very controversial in my answers. And, you know, there's a mixed audience here and people on the internet watching, so I just calm it. I don't want to protest against me or something. You know? Yeah. Yeah. And then I've got a lot to talk about and I have to quickly do it. So akinchana means without material possessions. So that's what, I'm going to finish off with that quality. Srila Prabhupada, I just saw a clip of Prabhupada in Australia and then a reporter's asking, you know, about the Rolls Royce. You know this Rolls Royce car, right? That, you know, why are you taking the Rolls Royce, you know, accepting it? And Prabhupada says, why not? You know, Prabhupada is so bold, you know, he said, why not? It's offered to me, I use it in Krishna's service. That's basically it. Prabhupada didn't see it as it's mine. He didn't see Bhaktivedanta Mana as mine. He didn't see anything as belonging to him. It belonged to Krishna and I'm just simply looking after it. That's what it means to have without material possession. It's a conscious thing. Yeah? You could be a monk and be too attached to your possessions, or you could be someone outside who has no attachment like Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's a conscious thing to see everything that we have, even the body, belongs to Krishna. So I need to take care of it. So there was a point in Prabhupada's life when he was a Grihastha that he lost all his money. You know that? Because his mood was, I want to be wealthy, and with that wealth, I'm going to spread Krishna consciousness. I'm going to create devotees in India and I'm going to send them around the world and they're going to preach Krishna consciousness and I will go too. You know, that was his mood. But then Krishna took all his businesses away, took all the money, so he was practically penniless. He didn't have much money. So Prabhupada remembers, and it's in the morning walk where he's talking about his father, and his father said, when Krishna wants to take something from you, he'll take it with 10 hands. How can you hold on to something when someone is coming with 10 hands to take it off you? You can't. So when Krishna takes from a devotee, that is the mercy. So if you are poor, or somebody's taken, or Krishna's taken everything away from you, that is his kindness. Don't look at it that, oh, it's Krishna's fault or God's fault, and then you blame him. Don't do that. That is his mercy, that he's taken everything away from you so that you can fully depend on him. So Prabhupada is saying, when Krishna takes, he takes with 10 hands. And when he gives with 10 hands. How much can you accept when he's giving? So Prabhupada was relating this because in 1976, he had thousands of followers. He had buses. He had books. He had temples. He had millions of dollars. Extremely wealthy because Krishna's giving. He took everything and then he gave everything. How much can you accept? He said, with 2 hands, how much can you grasp if someone is giving with 10 hands? So, you know, these pastimes of Madhavendra Puri, Srinivasacharya, Radha Raman, this would take more than an hour. It will. It will take more than an hour to comprehensively speak about it. So I won't do justice to it. I won't at all. But I'll start off with Madhavendrapuri because he's the most senior out of the acharyas of today. You know, the Radharaman deity is from Gopal Bhatta Goswami, and Srinivas Acharya is a disciple of Gopal Bhatta Goswami and a Siksha disciple of Jiva Goswami. But Madhavendra Puri, I tell you, if you go into the CC, Chaitanya Charitamrita scripture, and you go into the Madhya Lila chapter 4, it is a whole chapter dedicated in glorifying Madhavendra Puri, who is the grand spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So for those who are new, there's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His spiritual master is Ishwarapuri. And Ishwarapuri's spiritual master is Madhavendrapuri. Madhavendrapuri is also the spiritual master of Advaita Acharya. So one day, so I'm going to finish off with this story and let's see how far I can go by 8:30. Because it's prasadam, you know, everyone has to eat. So one day, Madhavendrapuri went to Govardhan. And Govardhan in those days was bigger than Govardhan now. Do you know that? Because it's shrinking. It's cursed to shrink. But it was much bigger then, bigger in those days. You know, we're talking about before 500 years. And he went to a place called Govinda Kund, right, to bathe. And then he rested and he was chanting. And this little cowherd boy came to him, beautiful little cowherd boy. And offered him milk. Madhavendra Puri felt, how do you know I'm fasting? How do you know? And then the cowherd boy said, well, basically the cowherd women saw you and they noticed that you haven't eaten anything and you've just been here all day. So they told me to give you some milk. And nobody fasts in my village. So that's why I'm giving you milk. Incidentally, I'm just going to digress here, but when Brahmananda Maharaj, Gagamuni Maharaj, Vishnujan Maharaj and Subal Maharaj were told to go out and preach by Srila Prabhupada, they had no money and they were in some place in America and they were just chanting and this little boy came to them and offered them milk and food, fruits. And the little boy said, oh, my mommy told me to give it to you. So they were just struck with wonder to how, you know, in America of all places, this little boy just turns up, beautiful little boy, and he's giving them food. So it just reminded me of that. So, you know, if some little boy comes along and gives you something, you know, look at them a bit more carefully. You don't know who they are. So the boy said, I will come back. And I will collect the milk pot from you. So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk pot and then eventually he chanted to sleep. Right? I don't know if you chant to sleep, but I remember seeing Tribhuvanath Prabhu, a great devotee, chant to sleep. So, you know, I was in Ireland, Innisfail, and he wouldn't have a bed. He would just be sitting on a couch and he'll be chanting. And in the morning when you wake up, you see him sleeping with the beads in his hands. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokulananda, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. So that's what I call chanting to sleep, where you just chant in Hare Krishna Ma Mantra until you fall asleep. That's an amazing thing to do, you know. Imagine that. You're not on your phone going to sleep. You're chanting the holy name and you go to sleep. So Madhavendra Puri did that. He was just chanting. He fell asleep. And while he was sleeping, he had a dream. And this same little coward boy was in the dream. And the coward boy said to him that he took his hand in the dream and took him to a place where it's full of bushes. And he said, in those bushes, I am in that bushes. My name is Gopal. And I was hidden in those bushes because when the Mughals were attacking, the Pujari got scared and he hid me in the bushes and he ran off. And I've been stuck in those bushes, tolerating the heat. You know, Vrindavan can get very hot. The cold, it can get really cold. the rains, the dust. I've been tolerating it for so long. I'm in these bushes. Please get me out of these bushes and put me on Govardhan Hill, build a temple for me, worship me, put lots of cold water, clean me and feed me. I'm hungry. And then the dream ended. And then Madhavendra Puri got, oh my God, that little coward boy who came to me was Krishna himself. And he was so upset. Like, oh my God, I couldn't recognize. He came to me. That's what I mean. You be careful when someone comes and gives you a gift. He came to me and I couldn't recognize him. And then he went into ecstasy, how kind the Lord is. And so then he told all the people around the village, the Lord has come to me. Now, Madhavendra Puri had three major dreams. I'm only explaining one because we're running out of time. He said, there's a deity in those bushes. I need your help. I need you to excavate, take away all the bushes. So all the people said, okay, let's go. Let's get together. Let's get this deity out of this area. So they eventually take away all the thickets, so take away all the bushes, and then they see this beautiful Gopal deity, right? So Madhavendra Puri starts to bathe the deity, clean the deity, and then they go on to Govardhan. Like, we can't go on Govardhan, you know? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, no way. Can't step a foot on Govardhan. But in those days, they could. So they built a temple. They got massive stone slabs. They put the deity on the stone slabs. And then they started to put oil on the deity. And then the deity became glossy, shiny. Then they got 900 pots of water from Govindakund, and then they started to bathe the deity. And then they did Pancha Amrita, Pancha Gavya, which is cow dung, cow urine, milk, yogurt, ghee. They wiped it all over the body of the deity. Then Pancha Amrita, which is adding sugar and honey on top of the milk and yogurt and ghee. And then they offered Boga. Now, we're talking about villages came together and they offered huge amounts of feasts. I'm getting hungry talking about it. But they're offering so much to the deity, satisfying the deity, giving clothes, giving ornaments. And then the word went around that Krishna is on top of Govardhan Hill. So all the other villages felt, I need to help. And so they came, the leaders said, look, we want to offer every day. We want to do Anukut. We want to offer a feast every day. And they offered it. Then Madhavendra Puri was the one who was offering it. And then he initiated the people who are the pujaris and trained them how to worship, how to serve Gopal. And eventually two renunciates from Bengal came, and Madhavendra Puri gave them the care of the deity. So they started to take care. Incidentally, this deity is in Rajasthan, Nathwar. And when I was 12 years old, I went there because my mom and dad said, let's go to Rajasthan. And we went there. And I just missed the darshan by a minute. I just missed it. I went to the town, went to the temple, and it was closed. I had no clue who was behind. I didn't know. I'm 12 years old. What do I know? And now I look back, oh, that was the deity. Krishna didn't show himself to me. I just missed it. So now they took the Vallabha Sampradaya looks after that deity. But then 2 years later, after worshipping the deity, Madhavendra Puri has another dream. And this time the same deity, Gopal, is saying, I'm so hot. I'm so hot. I'm boiling. I know you've given me lots of water and you cleaned me. I'm still so hot. Please, can you go to Malaya province and get me sandalwood paste and camphor and put it on my body so it cools me? Because in India, it gets really hot. And then the deities, they get put, sandalwood paste on them and it cools the body of the deity. The deity is real. It's not just stone. I mean, to a neophyte, it's stone. To the pure devotee, they communicate with the deity, and the deity communicates back. Deity can move. Deity can do so many things. When Prabhupada is looking at the deities, he's talking to the deities in his mind, and he's communicating. And he knows if the deities are happy or not happy, how they're worshipped. Deity talks. So Madhavendra Puri had to walk. Now, The first place he went to was Ramuna. Ramuna, I looked on Google Maps, right? From Vrindavan to Ramuna, it takes 11 days of walking. I don't know if it's fast walking or slow walking, but it's 11 days. It's like over 1,300 kilometers. Because you walk, the sadhus were walking in those days, and that's why you clean the feet of the sadhu when he comes to your house, because it's so dusty. You clean and refresh the feet of the sadhus. So he went to the first place, Ramuna. Ramuna is near Jagannath Puri. It's not that far. Near Calcutta. It's in that west region of India. And he went there, and this is the best part of the story, which I only got a few minutes. There is a deity called Gopinath. This deity was carved by Sri Ramachandra in Treta Yuga, by his arrow. He carved it, stone. Because Mother Sita was asking about, what is your next incarnation? So Lord Ramachandra created the deity and showed it's Krishna. So this deity is worshipped in Ramuna. So, you know, Madhavendra Puri is there, he's in that temple, and he's just in ecstasy, he's dancing in front of the deities, he's singing, and everyone could see, oh, this is a Mahatma, this is a pure soul who's arrived. This sannyasi is very advanced. They could just tell. You can always tell somebody who's advanced, you know, you can just see the person or feel the vibration. So, he started to make friends with the pujaris, and then he wanted to know how they serve Gopinath and what foods they offer to Gopinath. And they said, our best of all preps is called Amrita Keli. Amrita Keli. Now, I've got some surprise here. I've got something written by or spoken by His Holiness Kadamba Kanana Maharaj in 2010 in Chaupati Temple. It must have been, he was speaking about it. And he explains what Amrita Keli is. So I'm going to read this out to, I hope you don't mind. Because they think it's sweet rice. But it's different from sweet rice. You know, it's just different. Just hear this. Maharaj's statement. There is one kind of sweet rice which is known as Amrita Keli. Keli means it's plain. It's like play, it's a play of nectar on the tongue. Amrita is nectar. Amrita means nectar. Keli means plain. So it's plain on your tongue. When you taste this prep, it's just plain on your tongue. Do you know how to make sweet rice? Maybe you don't, but I will tell you, Maharaj is saying. It is said that the perfect mix of rice, sugar, and milk is 1 to 16. One part to 16 parts of milk, you know. One rice, two sugars, and 16 milk. So one part rice, two parts sugar, and 16 parts milk. Some people, when they make sweet rice, they put the rice in and they boil it. When the rice is sort of cooked, sweet rice hogaya, baniya, because he could speak Hindi, right? It's made. Then put some almond flakes in there, and there you have it. Let it cool down, and then serve it out. But then the rice is at the bottom, and the milk is at the top. So this is the wrong way of Amrita Keli. This is not how you make Amrita Keli, where the rice is at the bottom, milk is at the top, and it's just a quick. When you do milk preps, you have to take hours, right? I know, because I served Madhukulang, and I did some milk preps with her, and that's another story. So Maharaj says, that is useless. That's not sweet rice, that's milk with rice. So he's just, you know, saying that he doesn't like that. Real sweet rice means that you have to stir. You are there and you are stirring and stirring when the milk is on the fire. Because when you're stirring, you have to make sure the milk doesn't stick to the pan. So you're constantly, you know, stirring, right? Then you do not leave it alone, not even for a second. It's true, you can't leave it for a second. It will just burn. Stay there and stir and stir and keep stirring it up. In this way, we are stirring and stirring, and gradually the natural water which is in the milk begins to evaporate and becomes thicker. That's what happens when you heat the milk. The rice is cooked and the two begins sort of merge into one substance. So the milk and rice begin to merge, where you cannot separate the rice from the milk. It has become one. Now, don't keep stirring and stirring and make it thick like rice pudding, since it still needs to be liquid. So it can't be a pudding, you know? The British are famous for puddings, right? You know, bread pudding or whatever. So that's thick. It can't be. It has to be liquid. So it's a scientific process. That's called sweet rice. But that's not Amrita Kelly. In Amrita Kelly, what you need to do is when it gets to the perfect substance, then you add more milk, and then you boil it down again, and you keep on stirring. You stir more. And then at one point, the rice just begins to dissolve, and you cannot see the difference between the rice and the rest of the substance. There's no difference. It's just merged. It's like a liquid nectar. Yet it has become one paste. This is Amrita Kelly. So Marge, he must have been a good cook too, because he knows exactly how this is made in Remuna. You can get this only in one place in the world, mainly in Remuna, where the deity is known as Shira, Chor Gopinath. It's not Kheer, it's Shira, milk. Shira Chor Gopinath, or the deity that stole the Kheer. And I'm just about to get onto that story, but it's 8:28. So that must be a good sweet rice. Even the deities were stealing it. Anyway, I could read on, but so that was Marge's comments about it. So Madhavendra Puri heard, oh, Amrita Kelly, oh, this is you know, amazing. This is the main prep that they serve in 12 pots. They serve this to the deity. So he saw the pots, and he saw that they were offering it to Gopinath. So while he saw that, he was thinking, if only I could taste it. And by tasting it, I will know exactly how it's tasted, and I will prepare it myself and offer it to my Gopal in Govardhan. Now, you have to be an expert cook to taste something and then be able to replicate it. That means Madhavendra Puri must have been an expert cook. Because an expert cook is an expert taster. They can taste some prep, and then they know exactly how it's blended and the ingredients, and they can mimic it. So while he was thinking that, he felt, oh my God, I committed an offense. The deity hasn't even finished the prep, and I'm thinking about tasting it. Because it's an offense. That's why when they offer food to Krishna, you see them coming in their trolleys. Get out of the way, you know, they're bringing their trolleys through here. And they cover it, because you're not allowed to see it. Only Krishna can see the prep. Because if you see it, you contaminate it. If I see it, we contaminate. So it cannot be seen. So then he observes the aarti, and then he wanders off into a marketplace, and he doesn't tell anybody, and he just simply chants, right? He simply chants. So that night, the pujari that put Krishna to sleep, to rest, he has a dream. And in that dream, Gopinath is speaking to him, and Gopinath says, the deity, the main deity, says, look, it's 12 pots, but you have 11 pots because I took one of the... I actually stole, he uses the word stole, I stole one of the pots and is behind the curtain next to me. I want you to take this pot and find Madhavendra Puri, my devotee, and give him the pot. Pujari wakes up. He's startled. Oh my God, I had a dream and Gopinath told me this. He has a quick shower. He goes into the pujari room. And he sees behind the curtain, he sees the pot. He takes the pot, he goes out looking for Madhavendra Puri. He's calling out in the marketplace, is there Madhavendra Puri? Gopinath has stolen this pot for you. Is there Madhavendra Puri? And then eventually they find Madhavendra Puri, and Madhavendra Puri takes the pot. He can't believe that the Lord has stolen. Now, obviously, he hasn't really stolen it, because Krishna owns everything. He owns everything. But he just took it and kept it, reserved it for Madhavendra Puri. Madhavendra Puri starts to eat the kshira, and he goes into ecstasy, and he's so overjoyed, and he feels so much love that the deity is reciprocating. Deity is real. It's real. He will reciprocate. The deity will reciprocate with you. And he went into ecstasy. And then once he ate the full kheer, he smashed the pot and put it into a cloth And every day would take a little bit of this earth and eat it. And then he realized that, wait a minute, if I hang around here, everyone's going to come up to me and disturb me. Because they're going to say, oh, you're the famous Madhavendrapuri, that the deity has, you know, stolen this Shira for you. And in fact, they renamed the deity. They called it Shira Chod Gopinath. They renamed that deity, became a new name. It's like renaming Radha Gokulananda, but you don't do that. But anyway, Shira Chod Gopinath. So Madhavendrapuri left. He left Ramuna and he went on his way to Jagannath Puri. And I have to end at this point. That's the first dream he had. And then he had a second dream, Sandalwood Pulp. And then he had a third dream. And there's so much I can say. And I forgot to even mention Srinivasacharya and Sri Radharaman. But please forgive me. I'd like to finish on time. And I'm not going to take any questions. But if I do come back, by your mercy, I may finish off the story. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.